Trinadapi Sunichena Tororiva Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Namai Vakivalam, Kalo Nastyeva, 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 Gatir Anyata. We are continuing with this reading of Krishna book by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and we are picking up from where we left off, chapter 51, The Deliverance of Muchukunda. And we're in the midst of the chapter, and we're going to hear the prayers that Muchukunda will offer to Krishna. As it says at the end of the paragraph, he, Muchukunda, immediately fell down at Krishna's lotus feet and began to pray as follows. My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, I can understand that all living entities on this planet are illusioned by your external energy and enamored of the illusory satisfaction of sense gratification. Being fully engaged in illusory activities, they are reluctant to worship your lotus feet. And because they are unaware of the benefits of surrendering unto your lotus feet, they are subjected to various miserable conditions of material existence. They are foolishly attached to so-called society, friendship, and love, which merely produce different kinds of miseries. Illusioned by your external energy, everyone, whether man or woman, is attached to this material existence, and all of them are engaged in cheating one another in a great society of the cheaters and the cheated. These foolish persons, not knowing how fortunate they are to have obtained this human form of life, are reluctant to worship your lotus feet. By the influence of your external energy, they are attached to the glare of material activities, to so-called society, friendship, and love, like dumb animals that have fallen into a dark well. Srila Prabhupada explains, the example of a dark well is given because in the fields there are many wells unused for years and covered over by grass, and poor animals, not knowing of them, fall into them, and unless rescued, they die. Being captivated by a few blades of grass, the animals fall into a dark well and meet death. Similarly, foolish persons, without knowing the importance of the human form of life, spoil it simply for sense gratification and die without any useful purpose. Muchukunda continues his prayers. My dear Lord, I am not an exception to this universal law of material nature. I am also a foolish person who has wasted his time for nothing. And my position is especially difficult on account of my being situated in the royal order, I was more puffed up than ordinary persons. An ordinary man thinks he is the proprietor of his body or of his family. But I began to think in that way on a larger scale. I wanted to be master of the whole world. And as I became puffed up with ideas of sense gratification, my bodily concept of life became stronger and stronger. My attachment for home, wife, and children, for money and supremacy over the world, became more and more acute. In fact, it was limitless. So I remained always attached to thoughts of my material conditions. Therefore, my dear Lord, I wasted so much of my valuable lifetime with no benefit. As my misconception of life intensified, I began to think of this material body, which is just a bag of flesh and bones, as the all in all. And in my vanity, I believed I had become the king of human society. In this misconception of bodily life, I traveled all over the world, accompanied by my military strength, my soldiers, charioteers, elephants, and horses. Assisted by many commanders and puffed up by power, I could not trace out your lordship, who always sit within my heart as the most intimate friend. I did not care for you, and this was the fault of my so-called exalted material condition. I think that, like me, all living creatures are careless about spiritual realization and are always full of anxieties, thinking, what is to be done? What is next? But because we are strongly bound by material desires, we continue to remain in craziness. Yet, in spite of our being so absorbed in material thought, inevitable time, which is only a form of yourself, is always careful about its duty. And as soon as the allotted time is over, your lordship immediately ends all the activities of our material dreams. As the time factor, you end all our activities as a hungry black snake swiftly swallows up a small rat without leniency. Due to the action of cruel time, the royal body, which was always decorated with golden ornaments during life, and which moved on a chariot drawn by beautiful horses, or on the back of an elephant nicely decorated with golden ornaments, and which was advertised as the king of human society, that same royal body decomposes under the influence of inevitable time and becomes fit for being eaten by worms and insects, or being turned into ashes, or the stool of an animal. This beautiful body may be recognized as a royal body while in the living condition. But after death, the body of even a king is eaten by an animal and therefore turned into stool, or is cremated in a crematorium and turned into ashes, or is put into an earthly grave where different kinds of worms and insects are produced of it. Muchakunda continues his prayers. My dear Lord, we come under the full control of this inevitable time, not only after death, but also in a different way while living. For example, I may be a powerful king, and yet, when I come home after conquering the world, I become subjected to many material conditions. When I come back victorious, all subordinate kings may come and offer their respects. But as soon as I enter the inner section of the palace, I myself become an instrument in the hands of the queens. And for sense gratification, I have to fall down at the feet of women. The material way of life is so complicated that before taking the enjoyment of material life, one has to work so hard that there is scarcely an opportunity for peacefully enjoying. And to attain all material facilities, one has to undergo severe austerities and penances and be elevated to the heavenly planets. If one gets the opportunity to take birth in a very rich or a royal family, even then he is always anxious to maintain the status quo and prepare for the next life by performing various sacrifices and distributing charity. Even in royal life, one is full of anxieties, not only because of political administration, but also in regard to being elevated to the heavenly planets. Muchakunda continues to pray to Krishna. It is, therefore, very difficult to get out of material entanglement. But if one is somehow or other favored by you, by your mercy alone, he is given the opportunity to associate with a pure devotee. That is the beginning of liberation from the entanglement of material conditioned life. My dear Lord, only by the association of pure devotees is one able to approach your Lordship, who are the controller of both the material and spiritual existences. You are the supreme goal of all pure devotees. And by association with pure devotees, one can develop his or her dormant love for you. Therefore, development of Krishna consciousness in the association of pure devotees is the cause of liberation from this material entanglement. My dear Lord, you are so merciful that in spite of my being reluctant to associate with your pure devotees, you have shown your extreme mercy upon me as a result of my slight contact with such a pure devotee as Garga Muni. By your causeless mercy only have I lost all my material opulences, my kingdom, and my family. I do not think I could have gotten rid of all these entanglements without your causeless mercy. Kings and emperors sometimes accept the life of an ascetic to forget their royal life. But by your special causeless mercy, I have already been bereft of royalty. I do not need to become a mendicant or practice renunciation. Mochakunda continues his prayers. My dear Lord Krishna, I therefore pray that I may simply be engaged in rendering transcendental loving service unto your lotus feet. This is the ambition of pure devotees who are freed from all material contamination. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and you can offer me anything I want, including liberation. But who is such a fool that after pleasing you would ask from you something which might cause entanglement in this material world? I do not think any sane person would ask such a benediction from you. I therefore surrender unto you because you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are the Super Soul living in everyone's heart, and you are the impersonal Brahman effulgence. Moreover, you are also this material world, because this material world is only the manifestation of your external energy. Therefore, from any angle of vision, you are the supreme shelter for everyone, whether on the material plane or the spiritual plane. Everyone must take shelter under your lotus feet. I therefore submit unto you, my Lord. Mochakunda continues his prayers. For many, many births, I have been suffering from the threefold miseries of this material existence, and I am now tired of it. I have been impelled only by my senses, and I was never satisfied. I therefore take shelter of your lotus feet, which are the source of all peaceful life, and which can eradicate all lamentation caused by material contamination. My dear Lord, you are the Super Soul of everyone, and you can understand everything. Now I am free from all contamination of material desire. I do not wish to enjoy this material world, nor do I wish to take advantage of merging into your spiritual effulgence. Nor do I wish to meditate upon your localized aspect of Paramatma. For I know that simply by taking shelter of you, I shall become peaceful and undisturbed. On hearing the statement of King Mochakunda, Lord Krishna replied, My dear King Mochakunda, I am very much pleased with your statement. You have been the king of all the lands on this planet, but I am surprised to find that your mind is now freed from all material contamination. You are now fit to execute devotional service. I am most pleased to see that although I offered you the opportunity to ask for me any kind of benediction, you did not take advantage of asking for material benefits. I can understand that your mind is now fixed in me and is not disturbed by any material quality. Srila Prabhupada now explains something. The material qualities are three, namely goodness, passion, and ignorance. When one is placed into the mixed material qualities of passion and ignorance, various kinds of greed and lusty desires impel one to try to find comfort in this material world. When situated in the material quality of goodness, one tries to purify him or herself by performing various penances and austerities. And when one reaches the platform of a real Brahman, he or she aspires to merge into the existence of the Lord. But when one desires only to render service unto the lotus feet of the Lord, he or she is then transcendental to all these three qualities. The pure Krishna conscious person is therefore always free from all material qualities. Lord Krishna then continued, "My dear King, I offered to give you any kind of benediction just to touch how much you have advanced in devotional service. Now I can see that you are on the platform of the pure devotees, for your mind is not disturbed by any greedy or lusty desires of this material world. The yogis who try to elevate themselves by controlling the senses and who meditate upon me by practicing the breathing exercises of pranayama are not so thoroughly freed from material desires. It has been seen that as soon as there is allurement, such yogis again come down to the material platform. Prabhupada now explains. The vivid example verifying this statement is Vishvamitra Muni. Vishvamitra Muni was a great yogi who practiced pranayama, a breathing exercise. But when he was visited by Menaka, a society woman of the heavenly planets, he lost all control and begot in her a daughter named Shakuntala. But the pure devotee, Haridas Thakur, was never disturbed. Even when all such allurements were offered by a prostitute. My dear King, Krishna continued, I therefore give you this special benediction. You will always think of me. You will be able to traverse this material world freely without being contaminated by the material qualities. Prabhupada explains, this statement by the Lord confirms that a person in true Krishna consciousness, engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, under the direction of the spiritual master, is never subject to the contamination of material qualities. Krishna continued, my dear King, because you are a Kshatriya, you have committed the offense of slaughtering animals, both in hunting and in political engagements. To become purified, just engage yourself in the practice of bhakti yoga and always keep your mind absorbed in me. Very soon you will be freed from all reactions to such sordid activities. Prabhupada now explains. In this statement, it appears that although Kshatriyas are allowed to kill animals in hunting, they are not freed from the resultant contamination of sinful actions. Therefore, whether one is a Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Brahmin, one is recommended to take sannyas at the end of life, to engage himself completely in the service of the Lord, and thus become freed from all sinful reactions of one's past life. Then the Lord assured King Muchukunda, "In your next life, you will take birth as a first-class Vaishnava, the best of Brahmins. And in that life, your only business will be to engage yourself in my transcendental service." Prabhupada comments, "A Vaishnava is a first-class Brahmin, because one who has not acquired the qualification of a bona fide Brahmana cannot come to the platform of a Vaishnava. When one becomes a Vaishnava, he is completely engaged in welfare activities for all living entities. The highest welfare activity for living entities is the preaching of Krishna consciousness. It is stated herein that those who are specifically favored by the Lord can become absolutely Krishna conscious and be engaged in the work of preaching the Vaishnava philosophy." And because this last statement by Prabhupada is very pertinent to myself, I am now going to reread this section for my own purification. A Vaishnava is a first-class Brahmin because one who has not acquired the qualification of a bona fide Brahmin cannot come to the platform of a Vaishnava. When one becomes a Vaishnava, he is completely engaged in welfare activities for all living entities. The highest welfare activity for living entities is the preaching of Krishna consciousness. It is stated herein that those who are specifically favored by the Lord can become absolutely Krishna conscious and be engaged in the work of preaching the Vaishnava philosophy. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 51st chapter of Krishna, entitled The Deliverance of Muchukunda.
Namaste Narasinghaya, Namaste Narasinghaya, Namaste Narasinghaya, Prahlada, Dayane. Prahlada, Dayane. Hiranya Kashipura Vakshaha. Shila Trangana Kalae. Ito Narsingha Padato Narsingha. Yato Yato Yamitato Narsingha. Bahi Narsingha Hridaye Narsingha. Narsingha Madim Sharanam Prapadye. Narsingha Madim Sharanam Prapadye. Tavakara Kamalavare Nakam Adbhuta Sringam Dalita Hiranyakashipu Tanubringam Keshavadrita Narahadi Rupa Jaya Jagadishah Re Jaya Jagadishah Re Jaya Jagadishah Re Keshavadrita Narahadi Rupa Jaya Jagadishah Hare Jaya Jagadishah Hare Jaya Jagadishah Hare Jaya Jagadishah Jaya Jagadishah Jaya Jagadishah Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.